हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 32, chapter 4, The Factual Truth of Krishna. Brahma to Narad Muni. All the material manifestations of the universes are therefore situated in his powerful material energies, which he accepts self-sufficiently, although he is eternally without affinity for the material modes. Right, so, the material nature is working under his direction, but he has no affinity for them. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't have to take support from anyone else. Right? Material nature has to take support from the Lord to function. The jivas have to. His internal potency has to. But he doesn't. He's independent. The Supreme Lord is pure spiritual form, transcendental to all material qualities. Yet, for the sake of creation of the material world and its maintenance and annihilation, he accepts through his external energy the material modes of nature called goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right? So the energy is not different, so he's accepting in that way as his energy. But he himself, as the Purusha, is not accepting. That's 2.5.18. The impersonal feature of the Lord is the abode of great oceans. And his belly is the resting place for the materially annihilated living entities. His heart is the abode of the subtle material bodies of living beings. Thus it is known by the intelligent class of men. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has been known as the supreme reservoir of all material opulences by the 1/4 of his energy in which all living entities exist. Deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from anxieties of old age and disease exist in the kingdom of God, which is beyond the 3 higher planetary systems and beyond the material coverings. The 5 elemental ingredients of creation, the interaction thereof set up by eternal time, and the intuition of nature of the individual living beings are all differentiated parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, and in truth there is no other value in them. 2.5.14. So all these different things, this whatever everything's made up of, the time, the movement of things, the nature that people have and how they do things and their inspiration to do things, they have no other value in them but their connection to Krishna. Right? Because they are coming from Krishna, so there's no other value than their connection to Krishna. And if you disconnect, then they have no value anymore. We may say they're valuable, but it's not. You know, it's just like children. There's something they decide is very valuable, and so everybody's getting them. And then after a few weeks, then they don't care anymore, and it's not a value anymore. Right? But for the adults, it never was a value, except for the guy who sold it to them. But it wasn't the thing. It was the money they got from it. Yes. Sutta Goswami to Shonaka Rishi, 1.11.37-38. The common materialistic conditioned living souls speculate that the Lord is one of them. Out of their ignorance, they think that the Lord is affected by matter, although he is unattached. This is the divinity of the personality of Godhead. He is not affected by the qualities of material nature, even though he is in contact with them. Similarly, the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord do not become influenced by the material qualities. Shiva to Sati means you work with them, but you're not influenced by them.
Yes.
Right? Shiva to Sati, 4.3.23. I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudev in pure Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudev, is revealed without any covering. Otherwise, we're only seeing part of the Lord. But here, he's not. It's a matter of what is the position of your surrender, that's what he's revealing. So there's no covering for you. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But it's as far as your particular interest extends. Because beyond that, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So in other words, it's personal, not impersonal. Uncovered just means that, unlimited. It's the within the context of your surrender to the Lord, he reciprocates within that. Brahma to demigods, 3:15, 14 through 16. In the Vaikuntha planets, all the residents are similar in form to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They all engage in devotional service to the Lord without desires for sense gratification. In the Vaikuntha planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original person and who can be understood through the Vedic literature. He is full of the uncontaminated mode of goodness, with no place for passion or ignorance. He contributes religious progress for the devotees. Right, so here, uncontaminated. So the Shuddha Sattva, right? Mm-hmm. He contributes religious progress for the devotees. Right, so they have that surrender, and so then their ability within the process then increases. It's by his grace. Right? It's not because we did it, we practiced, I studied, I got the knowledge. No, it's because Krishna allows it. He contributes. We have the desire, we make the endeavor, so it's there. And we're given the credit. Right? Because it's personal. You don't, it's not a problem. Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say, out in the backyard. Then, is this out of context? No one has backyards. No one even knows what we're talking about here. Okay, so we'll give an archaic example when people's houses used to have land behind them, like that, and they were actually it was a house. It was singular with land all around before the neighbors. You know, there were fences that were out. You could actually walk between the house and the fence, right? And so there's an area for some garden. Right? And so the mother's out there and she is a hobby, grows flowers. Right? And some nice flowers are coming. So then, let's say the child goes out, picks a flower and brings it in and gives it to his mother because he wants to do something nice for her. Right? Okay. Who grew the flower? Right? But who gets the credit for giving the flower? Right. That's the point. So in other words, it's there for the interaction. So all these aspects of the jnana and kriya are there for interaction with Krishna. So you use them to please Krishna, that's nice. And if you don't, then you end up with the material world. Right. In those Vaikuntha planets, there are many forests which are very auspicious. In those forests, the trees are desire trees, and in all seasons they are filled with flowers and fruits, because everything in Vaikuntha planets is spiritual and personal. Sugadev Goswami to Maharaj Prigat. It was the first time I heard of forests. That's far out. Personality of Godhead, Prigat 2.9.16. Personality of Godhead, seen leaning favorably towards his loving servitors. His very sight, intoxicating and attractive, appeared to be very much satisfied. He had a smiling face, decorated with an enchanting reddish hue. He was dressed in yellow robes, and wore earrings and a helmet on his head. He had four hands, and his chest was marked with the lines of the goddess of fortune. Yes, so it mentions lines, because you have the Srivatsa, that we know, but there's also the Lakshmi Rekha. Remember the other day we heard about the Lakshmi Rekha?
Yes.
Right, because on the right side of his chest he has that footmark of Bhrigu. Right? You generally see it as a triangle, at least in older deities. Right? Then in the middle, then he has Srivatsa, and then on the left he's got the Lakshmi Rekha. So therefore the lines of the goddess of fortune.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sukadev Goswami, tomorrow's cricket, 11:31:6. Without employing the mystic Agnei meditation to burn up his transcendental body, which is the all-attractive resting place of all the worlds and the object of all contemplation and meditation, Lord Krishna entered into his own abode. Right? So, yogis, they have to apply the Agnei meditation. They burn up the body. From that, the soul leaves, goes to the destination they want. Right? They want to go to Brahmaloka, they get to Brahmaloka. But Krishna, without that, just in his own form, he just goes from here and he goes to his own abode. Right? So he's the supreme mystic. Sukadeva Goswami, tomorrow's cricket. 11:31:9-10. Just as ordinary men cannot ascertain the path of a lightning bolt as it leaves a cloud, the demigods could not trace out the movements of Lord Krishna as he returned to his abode. A few of the demigods, however, notably Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, could ascertain how the Lord's mystic power was working, and thus they became astonished. All the demigods praised the Lord's mystic power and then returned to their own planets. Right, so he's the chief of all. So he says the facts are true. He's the origin of everything. Right, everything's coming from him. Everything's situated in him. And he is unaffected by anything. And he's independent on his own. Right, so this establishes his position. Mm-hmm. Lord Krishna thought, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28, 13-15, and 17. Certainly people in this world are wandering through higher and lower destinations, which they achieve through activities performed according to their desires and without full knowledge. Thus people do not know their real destination. Thus deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness. Lord Krishna revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence, which is unlimited, conscious, and eternal. Sages, so that's the point, he's conscious. So that means he knows what's going on. That's why how Krishna is all pervading. He knows everything that's going on. Because through his breath, he's conscious of everything. Right? So he's in everything, so he knows what's going on. But he's aloof, he's unaffected. But we see before the problem with the jiva being all pervading is that they would be affected. Right? We're affected by what happens in this body. Why wouldn't we be affected by everybody? Right? Could you imagine that? You're out on one of those kind of hot, sultry evenings with, you know, in the summertime with no wind, and there's tons of mosquitoes. How many mosquito bites you would be feeling if you were all pervading, right? You know, millions of people, millions of mosquito bites. Yeah. Right? Not good. Right? Yeah. So, therefore, atomic and like that. Nandama, but Krishna is all pervading. He's aware, but he's unaffected. Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men. Oh, sages see that spiritual existence in trance when their consciousness is freed of the modes of material nature. So they see it when it's freed, and when it's not, then they don't see. So if they're able to always stay on that platform, then they'll always see, and if not, then it'll be when they're meditating. Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas who were offering him prayers. Suta Goswami to Shonaka Rishi, right? So they're surprised. Oh, hey, that's our guy.
From our village.
Huh?
From our village.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, from our village. Yeah, see, he made it. Suta Goswami to Shonaka Rishi. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:3, 1:5-28. Suta said, in the beginning of the creation, the Lord first expanded himself in the universal form of the Purusha incarnation and manifested all the ingredients for the material creation. And thus, at first, there was the creation of the 16 principles of material action. This was for the purpose of creating the material universe. This form, the second manifestation of the Purusha, is the source and indestructible seed of multifarious incarnations within the universe. From the particles and portions of this form, different living entities, like demigods, men and others, are created. First of all, because one may say, but all the incarnations come from the third Purusha, right? From Kiradaksha Vishnu, right? Expand from him. Yes?
No?
But who does the third Purusha come from? The second Purusha. So therefore, they all come from him. It's just what you want to bring out. So now they're bringing out how everything's coming from him. Right? So all the various living entities, the forms, the bodies, the actions, everything, that's all coming from them. Right? Then that's being supervised by Kiradaksha. First of all, in the beginning of creation, there were four unmarried sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, who, being situated in a vow of celibacy, underwent severe austerities for realization of the absolute truth. The supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices accepted the incarnation of a boar, the second incarnation, and for the welfare of the earth, he lifted the earth from the nether regions of the universe. In the millennium of the rishis, the personality of Godhead accepted the third empowered incarnation in the form of Devarshi Narada, who is a great sage among the demigods. He collected expositions of the Vedas which deal with devotional service and which inspire non-fruitive action. Right, so that's Narad Muni's specialty, is that establishing that the pancharatric perspective, and to do that from naishkarmya, from not trying to do it in a fruitive way. Right, so it's from the devotional platform. In the fourth incarnation, the Lord became Naranarayana, the twin sons of the wife of King Dharma. Thus he undertook severe and exemplary penances to control the senses. The fifth incarnation, named Lord Kapila, is foremost among perfected beings. He gave an exposition of the creative elements and metaphysics to Asuri Brahmana, for in course of time this knowledge had been lost. Because you have a body of knowledge, and with time people don't necessarily use it or understand it, and so then it disappears, and so Krishna comes and reveals it again. Like Bhagavad Gita, it had become lost, so then again he's giving it. The sixth incarnation of the Purusha was the son of the sage Atri. He was born from the womb of Anasuya, who prayed for an incarnation. He spoke on the subject of transcendence to Alarka, Prahlad, and others, Yadu, Haihaya, etc. The seventh incarnation was Yajna, the son of Prajapati Ruchi and his wife Akuti. He controlled the period between the change of the Swayambhuva Manu and was assisted by demigods such as his son, Yama. The eighth incarnation was King Rishabha, son of King Nabi, and his wife Meru Devi. In this incarnation, the Lord showed the path of perfection, which is followed by those who have fully controlled their senses and are honored by all orders of life. O Brahmana, in the ninth incarnation, the Lord prayed for by sages, accepted the body of a king, Pritu, who cultivated the land to yield various products, and for that reason the earth was beautiful and attractive. When there was a complete, because you also have the aspect, and if you're dealing in the Satyayuga, you don't need to plow the fields.
Yes.
Because one is that, if you have seed, if you have a fertile, it means that the earth being, everyone's doing everything very properly. So because of that, the earth is responding very nicely. So that means basically wherever you drop seeds, they'll grow. You don't even have to cultivate them. Right? It means that the weather's perfect, the environment's perfect, everything. So whatever is growing, the fruits, the vegetables, all these different things, then there's naturally going to be plentiful. And so just in the same place, the seeds drop, and they grows again. Does that make sense? So it's not like people aren't greedy. They only take how much they require. Does that make sense? Like, if the plant is in the field and no one picks it, it'll go to seed and drop the seeds, and it'll continue to grow. Right? But if we come along and we're greedy, we take more than we want, then it will rot in a go-down somewhere, and so the seeds won't grow. So you see, because of the good qualities, everything just goes very nicely. Yes, like that. Mm-hmm. They're the prominence. Means others may be there, but they're the prominence. You know, they're the ones that society moves under and all these things. So it'll be Brahminical. In Dwapara, in Treta, then you'll see it'll be Brahmins and Kshatriyas. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like that. So, you know, that's still that. Yeah, it was before the Ionians, basically.
And now it's demons.
Yes. So now the demons, they run everything. They're the problem.
It's barbarian.
The barbarians. Yes. Yes. You have to make a distinction.
Sorry.
How you say? Yeah, know your non-devotional elements.
No, the demons are running. Barbarians are under them doing the job.
Well, it just depends upon where you're from. That's the point. Okay. When there was a complete inundation after the period of the Chakshusha Manu, and the whole world was deep into water, the Lord accepted the form of a fish and protected Vaivasvata Manu, keeping him up on a boat. The 11th incarnation of the Lord took the form of a tortoise, whose shell served as a pivot for the Mandarachala Hill, which was being used as a churning rod by the theists and the atheists of the universe. In the 12th incarnation, the Lord appeared as Dhanvantari, and in the 13th, he allured the atheists by the charming beauty of a woman and gave nectar to the demigods to drink. Right, because Dhanvantari, we know he came with the nectar, but the main part of the pastime is with Mohini. In the 14th incarnation, the Lord appeared as Nrisingha and bifurcated the strong body of the atheist Hiranyakashipu with his nails, just as a carpenter pierces cane. In the 15th incarnation, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf Brahmana, Vamana, and visited the arena of sacrifice arranged by Maharaj Bali. Although at heart he was willing to regain the kingdom of the three planetary systems, he simply asked for a donation of 3 steps of land. In the 16th incarnation of Godhead, the Lord, as Bhrigupati, annihilated the administrative class, Kshatriyas, 21 times, being angry with them because of their rebellion against the Brahmanas, the intelligent class. Thereafter, in the 17th incarnation of Godhead, Sri Vyasadeva appeared in the womb of Satyavati through Parasara Muni, and he divided the one Veda into several branches and sub-branches, seeing that the people in general were less intelligent. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. In the 19th and 20th incarnations, the Lord advented himself as Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna in the family of Rishi, the Yadu dynasty, and by so doing, he removed the burden of the world. Then, in the beginning of Kali Yuga, the Lord will appear as Lord Buddha, the son of Anjana, in the province of Gaya, just for the purpose of deluding those who are envious of the faithful theist. Thereafter, so in other words, if you're envious of the devotees, then, you know, Lord Buddha will take care of that. Right? Because then you distract into something else, you don't care. Is that... Thereafter, at the conjuncture of 2 yugas, the Lord of the creation will take his birth as the Kalki incarnation and become the son of Vishnu Yasha. At this time, the rulers of the earth will have degraded into plunderers. Right, so at the conjunction of 2 yugas, that means it has to be at the Sunday between the Satya Yuga and the Kali Yuga. Right? So it can't be now, because this is not the juncture.
Yes.
Right, so... Sorry?
Somebody's waiting.
Some people say Kalki's already appeared. It's a whole, there's this whole movement of...
I don't think they say so,
yeah. Yeah. They also say that. They also say Eric Clapton's God. You know, so I mean, so many things they say. Yeah, somehow or another him. Yeah, he's, I mean, in London they claim that. But.
Conjunction period is for how long? Like, what is the time duration of it?
Long enough. Generally, it's 1/10. If you're taking it, Manu says that, so you have Satyuga be 4,000 celestial years, right? That Treta will be 3,000, Dwapara will be 2,000, Kali will be 1,000, right? So the juncture of each is 1/10 of that. So the Satya will be 400 celestial years, but the Kali will only be 100. So there'll be 500 years there. So that's the juncture between where you like. So in that time he'll come.
Maharaj, is there some dissolution during this juncture between the Kalpas? Some destruction?
I think it's not necessarily a regular thing. It can happen, but I don't. It's not something that necessarily has to happen. It may or may not, from what I can understand. And if it does, I think it's only up to the Earth Bhumandala. Like that. But then at the end of Indra, then it'll be up to the heavenly planets. Like that. And then at the end of Brahma's day, then that's up to there. So they all go up to Brahma Loka for that one. Like that.
And even at the end of Indra also, sometimes it's Parapralaya coming up till heavenly planets, just before Vaivasvata Moon. This happens, like it said that Brahma dozed off in between, and then
then it happened. Oh, so the main thing is because when he sleeps, then it all falls apart. So he's holding it all together. Okay. So what happens if he sneezes?
Baraha comes.
Yeah,
Baraha.
Okay. picks up the earth. Yeah. Okay. So then even with the even after the Manvantara, it's not necessarily that you have to have a destruction.
Yeah.
It may or may not. So either of these two are maybe occasional. But the end of Brahma's day, then that's regular. So that'll be that's the Naimittik then? Brahma's day?
Occasional. That is occasional.
That's the Brahma's day. The Nitya is at every moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Continuous. The lifetime is elemental.
Elemental, yes. At the end of his life, and then there's the transcendental, the permanent destruction.
I forgot what is exactly.
Okay.
Atyantika.
Okay. Oh, Brahmanas. The incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. All the rishis, manus, demigods, and descendants of Manu, who are especially powerful, are plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. This also includes the Prajapatis. All of the above-mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portion of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. So it's all about Krishna, though if we're discussing these topics, then they may be connected with these various aspects of the the Purusha avatars, then you have the creation, maintenance, and destruction, or different aspects, or knowledge, or austerities, or so they all do these different aspects. But they're all coming from Krishna, so therefore that's the factual truth of Krishna. Krishna does all these things.
Yeah.
But he does it through his portions, plenary portions, or portions of the plenary portions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? So does that make sense? So plenary portions, then they're going to be same as him. So the Vishnu, Tattva. The portions of the plenary portions may be also, Vishnu, Tattva, but they also might be all these other the Shakti Vaishan light. So you have six kinds of incarnations. So depending upon what they're going to be. The Leela avatars, Guna avatars, Yuga avatars, Manvantara avatars, and Shakti Avesha avatars. Get them all? And the Purusha avatars. Yes.
And the Kalas.
Yes. Pladmarsh to Lord Nrsingadev, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.38. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Tri Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Right, so that brings us then to Lord Chaitanya. So, does that make sense? So, all these things are there. It has the aspects of that we've been predominantly of Brahman aspects, but the point is it's all Krishna who's doing this. Right? And even to get to there, you have to go through the various incarnations and expansions of the expansions, like this. Right? And then their energies or their aspects. So, point is this, how he pervades everything, how he creates everything, maintains it, destroys that, how he displays all these amazing qualities, all these different things. This is all Krishna. So all opulence is all greatness, it's all Krishna.
Maharaj, like when you say about these expansions from Krishna down the line, so the same is with even the potencies of Krishna. They also expand correspondingly as the...
Yes, the potencies expand accordingly. So that's why we're getting down, is that the Lord being conscious and of everything, then in that feature he's there, but he's still conscious. It's still Krishna is conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just he has that impersonal feature that he's conscious of everything. He pervades everything. Okay. Then chapter 5, the essential nature of the energies of the Lord. Bhagavat Shakti Tattva. In chapter 5, the author proves that the Lord is the absolute master and enjoyer of his energies, right? It's showing, for he's just the Lord of the cosmos. So you're not really seeing the interaction with his energies, just that they're there, he's in control of everything. Now we'll see is that how he's the master and enjoyer of the energies, that interaction on that platform.
So it is a dramatic master.
Yes, so it means you have that aspect, but it's always going to be Krishna.
Yes.
That's the point in this, is that it's Krishna with these features.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of which feature is prominent. So you see, is whatever the feature is still all Krishna.
Yes.
Yes. There is no, the impersonal doesn't mean there's no person.
Yes.
Right?
When we speak about him enjoying with his energies, we talk about the spiritual world?
Both.
I mean, as soon as we turn to Krishna, that when his enjoyment starts finally?
Means he's enjoying all the time. Our involvement in that enjoyment is when we turn to him. But otherwise, he's always enjoying. Does that make sense? So, in the spiritual world, also, you know, in his pastimes in the material creation, all these things are there, but he appropriately will be interacting. You know what I'm saying? So, as Paramatma, he's there, or as Garbhodakshay Vishnu, or as Karanodakshay Vishnu, or the different incarnation like this. So they have all their energies that are actually doing the activity, right? But we're still seeing it from his that point. We're not taking it from the Shakti's point of view here. Does that make sense? Because then in doing that, we may forget Krishna.
Yes.
So you always, it's always Krishna with the energies.
Yes.
Is that?
Excludes the external energy.
Sorry?
Even when it says that he's enjoyer of his energy, it excludes the external energy because he doesn't enjoy external energy.
He doesn't enjoy the external energy, but it's not that in his appropriate feature that he's not involved. So it's Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, or like this, these incarnations, it's not that he's not involved in what's seen there, but he is the person who's not interested. The point is that all energies are under his control. That's the point to gain.
Mm-hmm.
One can get freed from the influence of his illusory energy and receive positive knowledge about him only by surrendering to his devotee. The personified Vedas to Mahavishnu, 10.87.14. The Shruti said, "Victory, victory to you, O unconquerable one. By your very nature, you are perfectly full in all opulences. Therefore, please defeat the eternal power of illusion, who assumes control over the modes of nature to create difficulties for conditioned souls. O you who awaken all the energies of the moving and non-moving embodied beings, sometimes the Vedas can recognize you as you sport with your material and spiritual potencies." Right, so we see slight different flavor here. Right, because now he's talking about the energies are included in the discussion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? Not that he just has, but the interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Brahma to Sri Krishna, 2.9.26. "In spite of that, my Lord, I am praying to you to kindly fulfill my desire. May I please be informed how, in spite of your transcendental nature, or your transcendental form, you assume the mundane form, although you have no such form at all." Right? So how does he assume the mundane form, though he has no mundane form?
Mm-hmm.
So only Krishna can do stuff like that. Śrīla Gosvāmī to Shonaka Rishi, Śrīmad Bhāgavatam 1.18.19. "And what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency? The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called the Ananta, unlimited." Brahma to Sri Krishna, 10.14.21. "O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these three worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing these innumerable pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy acts." Because he is only employing his spiritual energy. Right? She is transforming and producing all what we see and what is functioning here through the modes. Right? So, yes. So, but no one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy acts. We know it may do that, but how it's actually working, that we can't understand.
Yes.
Krishna reveals some aspect, and we know.
Yes.
But it's not by logic we can understand. Dhruva Maharaj to Krishna Garbha, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.15. "My Lord, by your unbroken transcendental glance, you are the supreme witness of all stages of intellectual activities. You are eternally liberated. Your existence is situated in pure goodness. And you are existent in the Supersoul without change. You are the original personality of Godhead, full with six opulences. And you are eternally the master of the three modes of material nature. Thus you are always different from the ordinary living entities. O Lord Vishnu, you maintain all the affairs of the entire universe. And yet you stand aloof and on the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices." So you'll see the elements that are there in the last chapter are within this chapter. But this one just takes it another step. Mother Earth to Dharma, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.16.33. "I was endowed with specific powers to supersede the fortune of all the three planetary systems. By being decorated with the impressions of the flag, thunderbolt, elephant driving rod, and lotus flower, which are the signs of the lotus feet of the Lord. But at the end, when I felt I was so fortunate, the Lord left me." Right? So, because the Lord would walk on the earth, then all these impressions from his feet would be there on the earth. So she would have all these markings. Like that. But then being proud, then Krishna goes. You know, it's just like you see with the gopis. You become proud, then it goes. Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prikit, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.39.55. "Also in attendance were the Lord's principal internal potencies, Shri, Pushti, Gir, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Ila, and Urja, as were his material potencies, Vidya, Avidya, and Maya, and his internal pleasure potency, Shakti." Right. So Krishna, all his principles, they're all there, and then each one, they all have their breakdown, and this way there's unlimited potencies.
Even for the material potencies, we'll be having the breakdowns.
Naturally, there's different kinds of knowledge, different kinds of avidya, different kinds of maya. Nagapatnis to Sri Krishna, 10:14:46. Obeisances to you, O Lord, who manifest varieties of material and spiritual qualities. You disguise yourself with the material qualities, and yet the functioning of those same material qualities ultimately reveals your existence. Because why would dead matter function without the Lord? So he's hidden within the dead matter, but the dead matter is functioning because Krishna is there. Mm-hmm. Right? So people who can see, they can understand how Krishna... You stand apart from the material qualities as a witness and can be fully known only by your devotees. Others may get some idea, but they can't know much. So knowing Krishna fully, only the devotees, because Krishna reveals. Right? We always have to remember, it's not a matter of intellectual prowess. It's a matter of Krishna's revelation. Because he's beyond the material existence, and our intelligence is made out of material existence. So he being beyond that, how can we perceive? So only when he reveals himself within that, then we can know. Gajendra's prayers of surrender. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:328. My Lord, you are the controller of formidable strength and three kinds of energy. You appear as the reservoir of all sense pleasure, and as the protector of the surrendered souls. You possess unlimited energy, but you are unapproachable by those who are unable to control their senses. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. So this is the ancient path of respect. Hidden process of the devotees. Dhruva Maharaj to Prishnigarbha, 4:9:16. My dear Lord, in your impersonal impression of Brahman, there are always two opposing elements, knowledge and ignorance. Your multi-energies are continually manifest, but the impersonal Brahman, which is undivided, original, changeless, unlimited, and blissful, is the cause of the material manifestation. Because you are the same impersonal Brahman, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Right? So, yeah. So he his feature is Brahman, because they're talking to Krishna. Swayambhuvamana to Dhruva Maharaj, 4:11:18. Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable supreme energy, time, causes the interaction of the three modes of material nature. And thus varieties of energy become manifest. It appears that he is acting, but he is not the actor. He is killing, but he is not the killer. Thus it is understood that only by his inconceivable power is everything happening. Drumila Rishi to Maharaj Nidhi, 11:42. Sri Drumila said, anyone trying to enumerate or describe fully the unlimited qualities of the unlimited Supreme Lord has the intelligence of a foolish child, right? You're thinking, oh, the unlimited, no, foolish. Right? Everything else unlimited, no. Even if a great genius could somehow or other, after a time-consuming endeavor, count all the particles of dust on the surface of the earth, such a genius could never count the attractive qualities of the Personality of Godhead, who is a reservoir of all potencies. Brahma to Narad Muni, Srimad Bhagavatam 2:5:13. The illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position. But those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in thoughts of, it is I, it is mine. Brahma to Narad Muni, 2:6:32. By his will I create, Lord Shiva destroys, and he himself, in his eternal form as the Personality of Godhead, maintains everything. He is a powerful controller of these three energies. Neither I nor all the sages born before you know fully the omnipotent personality of Godhead. So what can others who are born after us know about him? Even at the first incarnation of the Lord, namely Sesha, has not been able to reach the limit of such knowledge, although he is describing the qualities of the Lord with 1,000 faces. So not even just, you know, a few, but 1,000 faces. So,
yes.
That, yeah. Yeah, even the Shrutis say that the glories of the Lord are so much unlimited that we fail to describe and therefore we sit silent.
Yes. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to their relationship with the pure soul in pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer seeing his own body working. The wonderful potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bewildering even to the jugglers. That potential power is unknown even to the self-sufficient Lord, who is certainly unknown to others. Right? So even Krishna doesn't know the unlimitedness of his unlimited qualities.
Yes.
But at the same time, if he wants, he can know.
Yes.
But that's the point. The Supreme Powerful Lord then simultaneously entered into the 23 elements with the goddess Kali, his external energy, who alone amalgamates all the different elements. Right. So then all these different elements, and they all come together, because Kali, then she's also there. Words, mind, and ego, with their respective controlling demigods, have failed to achieve success in knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we simply have to offer our respectful obeisances unto him as a matter of sanity. Sri Vidura said, O great Brahmana, since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the complete spiritual whole and is unchangeable, how is he connected with the material modes of nature and their activities? If this is his pastime, how do the activities of the unchangeable take place and exhibit quality without the modes of nature? Boys are enthusiastic at play with other boys or with various diversions because they are encouraged by desire. But there is no possibility of such desire for the Lord because he is self-satisfied and detached from everything at all times. Why would the Lord take part? Because you're saying like the boys, then they are inspired, so then they go out, they play, they do all kinds of things. But why would the Lord sport with his energies? Because he has no material desire, nothing to gain, nothing to obtain. The pure soul is pure consciousness and is never out of consciousness, either due to circumstances, times, situations, dreams, or other causes. How then does he become engaged in nescience? Right, so it means the Lord's potency is doing all this. Maitreya Rishi Vidura. Sri Maitreya said, certain conditioned souls put forward the theory that the Supreme Brahman, or the Personality of Godhead, is overcome by illusion, or Maya, and at the same time they maintain that he is unconditioned. This is against all logic. Right? Because if he's unchangeable, how could he come under illusion? Because he's one consciousness. So therefore, if there's an aspect is illusion, that means the whole thing's illusion. But at the same time, he's unchanging and, you know, undividable. So it doesn't make any sense, the philosophy. Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prakrit. The original, unmanifested form of material nature is the source of all material things. And the source of even that subtle material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. What then could one ascertain to be separate from him? Uddhava to Vidura. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes are wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself, in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus his, Sri Krishna's transcendental body, is the ornament of all ornaments. So everyone's impressed by his display. Right? Maharaj Prakrit to Sukadeva Goswami, right? Even the Lord of Vaikuntha, he's impressed. Maharaj Prakrit to Sukadeva Goswami. Having heard of the great fortune of Mother Jashoda, Prakrit Maharaj inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, O learned Brahmana, Mother Jashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nandamaras perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? Sukadeva Goswami Damara's Purusha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning and no end, no exterior and no interior, no front and no rear. In other words, he is all-pervading. Because he is not under the influence of the element of time, for him there is no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times, being absolute, beyond relativity. He is free from distinctions between cause and effect, although he is the cause of everything. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the Goddess of Fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Jashoda. So even though you have all these different personalities, these different potencies, everything controlled by the Lord, but the mercy that's shown to Mother Jashoda, that's beyond what anybody else is getting. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Jashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Right, so, all listed in the beginning of the Nectar Devotion, right? Brahma to Sri Krishna. My dear Lord, neither I nor anyone else can estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours, which has shown such mercy to me and which appears just to fulfill the desires of your pure devotees. Although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form. How then could I possibly understand the happiness you experience within yourself? So he can't tell the potency, he can't understand it, he can't appreciate all the detail.
Yes.
So if he can't, who else could?
Yes.
Like Brahma's the top.
So Maharaj, can we say that pure devotee like Vishwanatha Chakritakur, when he explained the feeling of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
in his... It means he must be very close to
yes.
Krishna.
Yeah,
you know?
So then they can understand these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we have to hear from authority, otherwise how would we know?
Yes.
You know? And so Brahma, he can't understand all these technical points. How is he going to understand how much happiness he experiences?
Yes.
Right, so he can't understand the sad aspect and the chit aspect. How is he going to understand the ananda? Which is even greater.
Does it mean that ananda is actually dependent on sat and chit aspects?
No. Yeah, just how it manifests. See, the point is, does the principle of cooking exist whether someone's cooking or not?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's independent. Then if you use then if you apply the externals of it, then you see cooking manifest. But the point is, as you could say, is therefore it's dependent. But the point is the pots and pans aren't what's causing it. Kitchen can sit there for years and nothing happens. You understand? But cooking exists. So it's in support of. So there's a non-difference, but there's a difference. And you have to appreciate the superiority of the independent nature. Right? How bhakti is supreme, the Lord is supreme. And then you're able to appreciate through his energies. So that, as you can say, is the natural associates of cooking are the pots and pans.
Yes.
Is that?
Yeah. But some devotees, they say that the rasa won't happen without tattva, but we see even mundane example, you know, small children, they're happy, they don't know nothing.
But is the tattva still there?
It is.
We're taking it as the secondary aspect of tattva. What about the primary?
Yeah, the primary is always there.
Yeah, it's just like nod is there. Now whether anyone says anything or not, that's another thing.
Right.
So you always have to understand is the two are non-different, but there's a difference, and there is a hierarchy. That's why primary and secondary. So if that's appreciated, you know the proportion. Otherwise, if not, you get it the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in the contemporary environment. Everything happens because of money, so therefore the guy with the money, he controls everything. But then the problem comes is who's controlling that person. You know, and because of that, then the problem comes up. Does that make sense? So there's a natural... So, in other words, there has to be... what is higher than making money? Right? Because you're making money from people and all those kind of things and situations that people are in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the protection of the people that's the higher. So the point is that money is there so it can be used in that way.
Yes.
People can maintain and take care and all that. So if in the process of making money you endanger others, how you say, pursuit of happiness, you know, then that has to be regulated. That's why then the kshatriyas are higher than the business.
Yes.
Right? But then they're controlling the whole thing, but then why control? What's the actual purpose? That's therefore the Brahmins come in, because then it's about Krishna. Right? The Shastra defines. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So there's a hierarchy. Because otherwise, if you take that, then it's actually the people are the ones. If they don't come to work and work at your factory, you don't make any money. So it's the people who make everything happen.
Yeah. We've heard that one.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Probably for 70 years.
Years.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that make sense? So they all go together, but you have to understand there's a hierarchy. So the problem is when it's not accepted in the Vedic version, so then the hierarchy gets out of order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it becomes unscientific. So in the unscientific state, then it just means that proportions are wrong, or positions are wrong, or you know, all these kind of things. So here is, you always have the, without the secondary, you don't see the manifestation of the primary, but without the primary, the secondary has no meaning. Just like you have a first class kitchen. If no one ever cooks in it, it's a waste of time. But you see, you're able to appreciate cooking because it's happening in the kitchen. Does that make sense? So that's the relationship. But we have to understand is that the cooking's not useless without the kitchen. It just won't manifest. It's there anyway. The potency is there. It's eternal. But the kitchen, now that's then through which you'll be able to appreciate it in your situation. Okay?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandini.